Welcome back, everybody. All right, so we should have Shannon Seinfert on the line.
Right.
All right, good morning.
Morning.
Okay, so yesterday was the Quebec election, and I guess we're talking about it because of the rising debate over tuition, and that's why the election, well, that's why it feels why the election happened. So now when it came to campaigning, they didn't really talk too much about tuition, did they?
Well, no, I think the big question, though, that would be met by whoever won the election last night would be how are you going to deal with the student protest movement, which began, earlier in the early spring, and it was a sort of charade headache. And every time, I lived in Quebec, which is one of the reasons why I was sort of tapped to come into to come on the program this morning. I lived in Quebec. I was going to Laval University. I was a researcher at Laval University all of last year. I was also a student at Laval University all of last year in Quebec City, and so I got to see firsthand what this student protest movement was all about. And certainly, every time that Charest talked about sort of draconian responses to the student movement, he saw his popularity surge. So it was a kind of a good solution for him to talk about controlling the students and the tuition issue at the same time as implementing some really fairly scary legislation, which actually made the protest movement stronger. It was quite interesting. Prior to his announcement about, legislating against people wearing masks, many suburbanites were uninterested in the protest. But once he made that legislation, then suddenly we saw the POTS protest in the suburbs, and that sort of was seen as a kind of a solution where you kill a fly with a hammer instead of a fly swatter.
Right, so I guess they weren't talking about lowering tuition or making students or making fares for students. It was more about how to
deal with it.
Quell the
The issue was becoming increasingly difficult for people to get into parts of Montreal in order to go to work. It was getting dangerous because there were issues within the subway. Now, much of the protest issue over the tuition, the student protest, which later grew, as I said, become a more generalized kind of anti-Charest movement. Much of that protest was situated in Montreal and Quebec City. I did not have one day of my academic life disrupted by the student movement. I know that some of the professors had some difficulty at times getting into their classroom, depending on how the vote had gone for the students that week. And there were some concerns by professors at Laval University, at the university that I was working at, about being able to finish out the term and how they were going to be finishing out the term. But for the most part, the student protest movement was located in Montreal. It was not located in Quebec City. In fact, I was with a friend of mine near the end of the semester. I was with a friend enjoying a supper in a restaurant overlooking Boulevard René Lévesque in Quebec City, and my friend got up to go to the bathroom, and while she was in the bathroom, I viewed the parade, the student protest parade, and by the time she had come back from the bathroom, a whole 5 minutes later, the parade was over. So that sort of tells you very succinctly the difference in the student protest movement in Quebec City and in Montreal.
Why do you suppose there's such a big difference? Was there any backlash? People talking about it in Quebec City? Or?
People in Quebec City were. I think that the idea of having to pay more for the tuition resonated. I mean, certainly students were concerned about student debt. It just there was a larger group of other organizations and other protest movements that were alive and easily organized in Montreal compared to what was going on in Quebec. Quebec City itself is a relatively kind of sleepy, bureaucratic city. People often chastise as being very boring, and I think that might have been part of the reason why it does not seem to be a city where people are easily mobilized and easily protesting. So, Montreal is very much a city in which that kind of protest can occur. It doesn't happen in Quebec City. So it's really important, though. I mean, I guess the reason why I'm bringing up the point more than anything is to make it really clear that that student protest was not situated throughout Quebec. It was situated in Montreal. So when people think about the student Quebec student movement, you know, it wasn't everywhere. It was located in one central city, and it was joined by other activists and other protesters, including a very strong anarchist movement.
Right. So then was anything sensationalized by the media?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, absolutely. And of course, I mean, in all sorts of different ways, it was, Montreal was seen as the epitome of it, and indeed it was not. Yeah.
So now, where do we stand with the Parti Québécois minority?
Well, the Parti Québécois minority actually, in many ways, is a blessing for people who have been, you know, watching the Quebec election were concerned, because the CAQ and the Liberals, of course, if they wanted to form an alliance on certain legislation, they could prevent it from going through. I think that Pauline Marois is very clear that she wants to bring the issue of sovereignty to the table. I don't know whether or not that will result in her opportunities to have a referendum if it continues to be a minority government. Many people that I heard interviewed and many people that I talked to said that they were interested in voting for the Parti Québécois, not because they were interested in separation, but because they were interested in an alternative to Jean Charest's Liberals. And Jean Charest's fairly scandal-ridden government, and so this is an alternative that they were seeking, and they were not ready to go to the right wing CAQ, so instead they went to the Social Democratique, which is the Parti Québécois. But the interesting thing there as well is, if there's ever another example of why we need proportional representation, the Quebec election last night is a great example of that. I mean, 1% in the popular vote differentiated between the Parti Québécois and the Liberals. And yet the Parti Québécois gets to be the minority government of the day.
All right. So now here at home in Manitoba, Fort
mm-hmm.
White had their by-election, and Brian Pallister took it, obviously.
That was not surprising.
No. But what does that mean as a whole for Manitoba and the Conservative Party?
Well, it means that the Conservatives actually have a leader staying in LA. It's kind of important. And it was actually really shocking, too, that there was I was stunned when I came back and realized that the Progressive Conservatives in Manitoba couldn't even get enough people interested to actually run for leadership. And it basically went to one man.
Right.
So I think it's very interesting to see that by-election. You know, I'm sure that all the MLAs are welcoming Brian to the Legislative Assembly, and they're ready to get back to work and start, you know, start the process. I think what's really interesting is what happens to Axworthy. Is he going to, you know, consider potentially other opportunities with the Liberal Party in Manitoba? And, you know, where is the Liberal Party going to go from here as well? I think that's really interesting. But, you know, Fort White, interesting that we have the Progressive Conservative Party leader now elected, but really on the face of things doesn't change things too terribly much.
No. Well, another thing that was actually interesting to me is that he doesn't actually live in the riding.
Hey, you know what? That happens all the time. That's politics. He will, like most good politicians, then arrange to buy a house to live in the riding. That happens all the time. It happens all the time. It's not, you know, I think other parties like to make that a big deal during elections, but it's
right.
not a big deal.
All right. Well, thank you, Shannon, for coming on this morning.
Oh, thank you for having me.
All right. Shannon Sampert is Associate Professor of Politics here at the University of Winnipeg.